and you look at all the things that are in the world, I declare with a very loud exclamation point that there indeed is a God. But that alone doesn't tell you the whole story. I can look at the heavens. I can look at the stars. I can look at the moon. I can look at the hills and the rivers and the oceans. And I can see the vision that surrounds the whole of this world. And I can know by looking at that that something or someone God created. They left behind in order to give us evidence and answers for questions that we have. Ancient people left us evidence. Overwhelming evidence that God exists. I want to submit to you this morning that the evidence outside the Bible is overwhelming. It is astounding the amount of evidence that exists outside of the Bible that cries and screams the truth that, yes, there is a God. But you know, evidence means nothing if you don't look at it, if you don't examine it, or if you ignore it. And you know what? Men can do that. They can ignore the evidence. They can reject it. They can marginalize it. They can disbelieve it. They can do anything they can do. But that does not mean that there is the problem I have with you today is that you take your decisions like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices with a strong wind, runs his race. It rises at one end of heaven. You know what's interesting? When I'm in the Philippines, when it's daytime here, and you're getting up in the morning, it's nighttime there. The sun is up here, but over there the moon's up. And over here it's daytime, and over there it's nighttime. Why? You all live on the same planet. Why does it affect one end of the earth differently than it does the other end? How does it turn to make 24 hours in both places, but at different times? How does that happen? Why does that happen? Can we answer that? Do we know that? Do we know why? And nothing is hidden from the heat. What part of this world does not get heat from the sun? What part of it? Even Antarctica, as cold as it is, it does get some warmth from the sun at certain times of year. All these things fly by somebody's picture. He brought it all together. He made it all work. He makes it all function the way that it does. vain. Why does man worship things? He might worship God. He might worship his money. He might worship his job. He might worship a relationship. He might worship a number of things, but what makes him like that? What makes him a worshipful being? Why is he like that? And why do men deny God? And many do. Many do deny God. But is it because the evidence is not compelling enough? Is it because it's not clear enough? Is it because there's not enough of it? Is that the reason why most men, the majority of men, deny that there is a God? No. Well, let's talk about these things. Number one, cause and effect. Let's talk about creator and creation. The cosmological argument. The universe must have an adequate cause. It must have a cause in why it's here and how it got here. Cause and effect. Cosmetology, Greek cosmos. You know what that means? It means order. It means form. The world as an ordered whole. Is there order in this world? Is there an orderly design in the way that the world is created? Does it have order? Every effect has an adequate cause. Something comes from something. Nothing comes from nothing. Everything came from something. Nothing produces nothing. If we have nothing, then how did we get here? Every effect has an adequate cause. Something comes from something. The cosmos exists. What is the adequate cause? We can see the world. We can see the sun. We can see the planets. We can see the moon. We can see the beauty. We can see it. That's what the cosmos exists. We know it exists because we can see it. The question is, what is the cause and why it is there? How did it get there? What's the answer to that? There has to be a cause. Who created it and why is it there? We have to know the answer to that. The universe must have an adequate cause. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. The architect or the builder of a house or a family or a nation is greater than the church. This says that the builder of every family is God. Now either that thing or itself. That means everything we recognize is true. Everything that you can visibly see that is created by God. That either is a true statement or it is a lie. It cannot be false. So he did. He threw it against the wall. He opened it. And it was in pieces. And everybody started to laugh at him. He says, you're right. It's funny, isn't it? He says, that's impossible. That could not happen. That's what the evolutionists think. He thinks it all
came together, and it wound up, and bang, there it is. And you know what? You couldn't do it to the watch, and you couldn't do it to the universe, because neither one makes sense. It's illogical. It's illogical. Somebody had to put it together. Who did that? Let me give you two examples. The sun. Do you know that we are the exact distance that we need to be to the sun that we gain its warmth? If we were fractions of inches closer to the sun than we are, it would burn this planet up. It would dissolve it. Why are we far enough away that we get its warmth? And what about if we were too far away? If we were a little further away, we couldn't get the warmth of the sun at all, and we would become an ice cap. Why doesn't that happen? Why are we exactly where we need to be to gain both? Oh, that would just happen. Chance. Circumstance. No, brethren. Somebody made it so. Somebody made it that way. The universe must have an adequate cause. If a watch is evidence of a maker, how much more is the cosmos evidence of a God? If the watch had a designer, you ever watch a watchmaker? You ever watch those big glasses he has? And he gets in the back of the watch and he can see all the springs and he can see all those pieces and he can work in there and he can put them all together. We know that didn't just happen. We know somebody designed all those little bitty pieces and put them together in such a way that we can wear a watch and it can tell us the time. We know that somebody did that. We know that didn't just happen. But then we look at something more complicated like the world. And we just think it happened. It just evolved to be what it is today. No, it cries for a designer. The first cause is God, and an uncaused cause. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens. That's the atmosphere above us. The planets, the stars. God created it, and he created the earth. Now let me ask you, what's left? If he created the heavens, and he created the earth, what's left? He created everything above and everything beneath. All of it cries that there was a creator. And that creator was God. Which is more reasonable? First cause, eternal God, or eternal matter? You see, what the atheist has a problem in is origin. Okay, we came from Adam, okay. We came from atoms. Where did the atom come from? Well, we evolved from an ape and we became a man, okay. If I take that argument, where did the ape come from? Or if we evolved in this Big Bang Theory where these things exploded and everything was arranged because of the explosion, where did all those elements come from? Where did all those things, where were they? Where did they come from? He doesn't have a point of origin. But he doesn't know the origin. But if I take the Bible argument, that it all began in the mind of God, that he created, he had the world figured out before the world was created, he understood before the foundation of the world was formed, then I have an adequate cause because I have an eternal God.
got to be one or the other. It can't be both. Which is it? Which one makes more sense? Which one has more evidence? The eternal God or the eternal man? You know why? Because he has the power to do both. He has the power to create. He has the power to destroy. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you evidence of that indeed is a true fact. That the one that created also has the power to destroy it. 2 Peter 3, God will destroy the universe when his purpose is finished. It cannot perpetuate itself. The world's not going to recreate itself. This world was created for a purpose, and when that purpose is no longer needed, it will be destroyed. What is the purpose for the world? It is to give us a place to exist while we live here. And when we no longer live here, this world will no longer exist because it will have fulfilled its purpose. But the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, who created the heavens? Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. In the heavens, will pass away with a great noise. And the elements, where are the elements? They're on the earth. That's what everything on this earth is made up of. Elements. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The one that created it is also has the power to destroy it. That's what the Bible says. He created it. And when the earth has served the purpose for which he designed it for, he will destroy it. Intelligent design. Intelligent designer. The technological argument, the design and order of the universe requires an intelligent designer. Technology, from Greek, telos, it means end, it means purpose, it means design. Does this world have a design? Does it have a purpose? The universe reflects order and design, not random chance. It is cosmos, not chaos. This world is not chaos. It is orderly and it is designed. How did that happen? How did we get that order? The universe functions in an orderly way. In a systematic way, in a productive way. Now, I want to show you that indeed this is true. Remember in the Genesis account? Take your Bible and turn to Genesis for a moment. Do you know a statement that is made over and over in the Genesis account, in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. Listen to what the scripture says. Genesis 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its what? Kind. Now, plant life, animal life, and human life produce after its own kind. Why? Why does that happen? Fruit trees produce after its own kind. Why is it when you plant an apple seed and you nurture it and you water it and a tree grows, what's on the tree? Apples. Why aren't there oranges? Apricots. Grapefruits. Lemons. Why aren't they on there? Because it can't be. Because every seed produces after its own kind. The whales, the living creatures that move in the water. What do other whales reproduce? Baby whales. What does every creature in the water reproduce? They don't reproduce an elephant. They don't reproduce any other animal that lives on the earth. They produce creatures that live in the sea. Why do fish have fins? Why do they have scales? Why does water run through their body and allows them to breathe? Why are they that way? Why do birds have wings? And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts. What do cattle reproduce? Other cattle. What do lambs reproduce? Other lambs. What do goats reproduce? Goats. evidence is still there. And the evidence still has to be there. And so maybe you're here today and you're not Christian. And maybe, I don't know the heart of everybody that's here, but maybe you think that there's not enough evidence that you see of your need to be a Christian. You don't see the need to be a Christian, and you don't believe that it matters as long as the good outweighs the bad, as long as I'm a good person, as long as I'm a good moral person, and I do those things that are right, but that's going to be enough. Now, you know what? You can convince yourself. But if you look at the evidence, if God did create me, if God did put me here, then the answer of how I got here is by God. Why I'm here, that's God has revealed why I'm here. And if that's why I'm here, and that's the purpose of me being here, the last question you need to answer is where are you going in relation? Where are you headed? God created you. He created you for a purpose. And there will be a day when you will bear an account of what you did with the life that he gave you. Hearing the word of God, believing it, cutting of your sin, helping his name, committing your baptism, contact the blood of Christ, will change your spiritual condition. It will change you from being outside of Christ to being inside. Outside the family of God, being in the family of God. And outside, there's no hope to being inside with him. Then you must be faithful. Then you must live your life according to his purpose. According to his purpose. According to his design. And so what he would have you to do. And you've done, and you started, but you've lost your way. And you look back to that which you left. You need to repent. You need to turn away from that and find in the first place. It's told in Acts chapter 8, verse 22 through 24. If we confess our faults one to another, if we confess our faults one to another, we affect your purpose for other righteousness. If we can help you in any way, get your life right with God, we're here to do so.